Welcome to Word Life Church. My name is Pastor Freddie Minifield. You know, I'm so excited that you joined us today. I don't believe it's a coincidence. One thing I know for sure is that the Word of God will make all the difference in your life. And the word you hear today is going to encourage you, it's going to challenge you, and it's going to impact your forever. So whatever you do, get all the distractions away, and you tune in and expect to hear from heaven. And after the message, don't go anywhere. I'd love the opportunity to pray with you on any needs that you may have in your house or your household. You know, there is no time, space, or distance in the spirit realm. You can be healed, delivered, saved right where you are. So stay tuned after the message. We'll see you then.
We started a series entitled The Book of Ephesians last week, and I was looking at the video, and I didn't even get through the intro. I thought I did something, but I introduced it, literally introduced it, but I still provided notes. I still provided the notes from last week in case anybody wanted the notes, but I mean, the first paragraph maybe is what I covered last week. So the little bit that I did cover, we saw that Paul's letter to the Ephesian church was full of some of the most powerful revelations concerning the believer's union in Christ. Now, the reason why it's so important that you and I understand our union in Christ is because that's our real identity. What the enemy tries to attack is our identity. If we don't know who we are, he can steal from us and be successful. But the moment we get a hold of our union with Christ, he becomes ineffective in our lives. Paul called the truths that he was preaching in these letters mysteries. For this reason, Paul included two prayers. The first one was found in Ephesians. Did you guys get those prayers? Those prayers are absolutely full of power. And because Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit, it's not just for the church of Ephesus, it's for the church of Word Life. I personalize, if you look, are we able to put those on the screen? Did I even send those to the media team? The Ephesian prayers? I don't know if I sent those or not. I don't think I did. And I didn't give myself a copy. Go figure. what an easy solution. So, let's say these together. The first prayer is found in Ephesians chapter 17 and verse 23. Okay. Hint, we're going to read together. Okay, are you ready? Read, God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I desire to know you more. Open the eyes of my understanding. Enlighten me by your spirit. Show me the hope of your calling. Show me the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. Show me the exceeding greatness of your power toward us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power, which you worked in Christ Jesus when you raised him from the dead and sat him at your right hand in the heavenly places, far above principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. You put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now this is your assignment for the entire, I don't know how long the series will last, but I'm asking you to pray these prayers every day. every day. If you don't have one, we'll get one to you. But pray these prayers every day for the purpose of spiritual insight and wisdom. In this letter, Paul was asking to grant each reader wisdom. The first three chapters of Ephesians, we looked at this last week, deal with our position and our calling in Christ. The last three chapters are the practical, and they speak of our rightful position and calling in regards to our relationships. The example that I used was once we get him in order, we can minister to them. And that's the picture of the cross. First and foremost, our vertical, and then our horizontal. On the doctrinal side, the first three chapters, we find that we are absolutely complete in him. Our true identity does not begin by doing, please let this get into your heart, it begins with an understanding of what has been done. Last week we learned that Paul was able to evangelize almost all of Asia in the middle of widespread idol worship. They worship the god Diana, and their way of worshiping was by prostitution. And Paul was successful in raising up a God-honoring church in the midst of that. And I said that to say, God, Paul's not better than us. We too can raise up God-honoring disciples that are fully functioning to their potential. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that people are going to raise the dead because they know who they are. I believe that blind eyes will absolutely come open because of the name of Jesus, because of the boldness of a believer stepping out and doing the works of Jesus. I believe with all of my heart that God is equipping you to go out and do the greater works. John 14:12 is not to be stagnant. We're not tearing it out of the Bible. We are to believe, hold fast, and take God at his word and go out and do the greater works. The greater works belong to the children of God. Somebody shout if you're a child of God. The greater works belong to you. And that is so important to expect that. Expect the power of God to flow because you said yes. Ephesians was the chief city in the Roman province of Asia, which is now Turkey. It was in this setting that the Greek culture, in the middle of the Greek culture, Paul influenced the world through the word of God. Paul made an impact that is still effective. What Paul did back then is still rippling throughout time. And family, what I'm here to tell you, I submit to you, what you do right now has the ability to ripple throughout your generation. Your whole family can be saved. You know, I see my sister completely whole. I see my sister sharing the gospel. I grab hold of the truth of the word of God because it's for me. And it's for you. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. Let's go there. I think we'll get through verse 5. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Isn't that interesting that Paul identified two sets of people in his letter to the church of Ephesus? First of all, Paul made a special mention of the fact that he was an apostle, look at this, by the will of God. You know, knowing you're called is absolutely key. Knowing what you're called to is where your victory is going to come from. People appoint themselves to positions and sometimes gain recognition from other people. However, only those appointed by God carry his authority and his anointing. critical. There's a difference between being sent and just went. There's a difference of God calling somebody out. If believers know that it's God's will, it makes whatever hardship doable. If you know you are in the will of God, what you're going through, you're simply going through. Knowing that purpose is absolutely foundational. That is something that we have to settle. It's not good enough to just feel like you're called. It's not good enough to be in ministry because it's a good idea. Because mom and them said, you know, you're supposed to preach. It's about being called and answering that call and allowing the authority and the power of God to flow through you. The anointing is available, family, to take care of whatever is going on. You know, last week, there was a shift in the atmosphere. There was an absolute substance that took place during Sunday service. And it's going to continue. There are things that held on in your life that won't be able to hold on anymore. There are things that have attached itself to you that it's going to be sweatless for you to be free from it. You've been trying, you've been wringing your hands, you've been trying to figure it out, and I'm telling you by the Spirit, you're going to be made completely whole. It was absolutely going to happen. Paul made a distinction between the saints that were in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ. This is such a powerful point because it's true in every church. There's a core group who carry the load. They're present, they give, they serve, and they're full of faith. It's God's desire that we are all one. It's God's desire that we all live up to our potential in Him. We need to make the decision to strive to be among the faithful in Christ Jesus. Let's go to verse 2. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 2. There should be no confusion in where we're at. We're going to hang out in Ephesians. That's not true. I got a couple other scriptures I'm going to take us to. Skylar, God desires to use you in a unique way for this generation. God is calling you to be a light in this generation. God desires for you to step out and be bold, listen to His voice, and begin to share it with others around you. He's going to create a ministry that's going to be organic. It's going to be effortless. You're going to go places, and people are going to be drawn to you, and you're going to begin to speak into their lives. So be obedient. Be expecting that. Be bold. When you feel that, it is God. Step out and allow God to use you. Let's stretch our hands towards Skylar right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we agree with your power and your plan on Skylar's life. Father, we thank you for anointing her and equipping her to do the work of the ministry. Father, I pray that she is equipped and effective. I pray that your voice is the loudest voice that she hears. We pray boldness over her like never before. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 2 says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace are gifts to be received by faith. Peter revealed that grace and peace, this is in 2 Peter verses 1 and verse chapter 1 verse 2. Peter revealed that grace and peace can be multiplied how? Through the knowledge of God. God's gifts are available to everyone, but only those who know and understand will reap the full effects. The purpose for us taking time out and going through the book of Ephesians and praying the Ephesian prayers is so that we reach our full potential. That we begin to see the word like never before. That it's crystal clear of what our next steps are. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to bless us one day." What does your Bible say? "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with some of the spiritual gifts we may need one day." What's it say? Every. Family, listen to me. If you have every spiritual gift, you lack nothing. Every time you feel like you're lacking, it's a lie. Identify it as a lie. Agree with the word of God and walk in your true identity. After a short greeting, Paul's just such a powerful apostle. After a short greeting, Paul got right into the point. He started praising God for the great spiritual blessings that we already have in Christ. The phrase "who has blessed us" is in the aorist tense in the Greek. That means that there was a point in the past when all these blessings were obtained and given to us. That is so important that we know and understand that. Paul was describing what's already ours. These are not blessings to be sought after, but rather to be discovered and enjoyed. So our role is to discover them and not be distracted. The distractions of this world has hindered many people from discovering who they are and what they have in Him. And the prayers are going to help us with that. Light is going to begin to shine. Your understanding is going to be quickened. And you're going to know like never before who you are in Him. You're going to be able to step out boldly, effortlessly, because who's in you is going to come out of you. We who have put our faith in Christ are not headed to a victory. We're coming from a victory that's already been accomplished. Man, that is a simple truth that will change everything. We have to allow it. In the scripture, it says in heavenly places, that carries the idea of the spiritual realm in Christ. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. These things are now spiritual realities. Our spiritual selves are already complete. As we believe and act in faith, these spiritual blessings become physical realities. And that's what we're believing for. It's awesome to be healed in spirit. But the testimony comes when that healing manifests in the natural, true or not true. That's when it impacts the world. Your neighbor seeing you healed, whole, transformed is what impacts the world, what reaches the world. And that's always going to be God's idea to reach the world. As we believe and act in faith, these spiritual blessings become a physical reality. Don't settle for "God knows my heart." Don't settle for, "Well, I know I have it," and it not manifesting. Don't settle for that. It's okay to be there, but you can place a demand on the anointing of God and see it manifest in your life. revelations, impartations, and manifestations are promised to every one of you. Don't let go of that. Keep expecting. Here's a partial list of some of the blessings that Paul mentioned. These are the every spiritual blessings. We have been adopted as God's children. We have redemption through the blood of Jesus and forgiveness of sins. We have obtained an inheritance. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We have been given the same power that raised Christ from the dead. We have been made one new man. We have been made fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God. We have become a holy temple of the Lord, and we have become a habitation of God. Look at somebody and say, God looks good inside you. What we receive is more than enough to win. And grabbing a hold of that is so critical for each and every one of us. Whatever you do, do not remain in your comfort zone. Whatever you do, I said last week, your comfort zone is the enemy to your success. And that is so true. If you're comfortable, you'll only have what you have now. It's going beyond you that allows God to flow through you. God will always begin where we end. We have to choose. We're either going to work or rest. I'll caution you, if you're doing the working, God's doing the resting. You can choose and flip that around and begin to take God at his word and rest and allow him to do the heavy lifting in your life. Allow him to do the work in your life. Here's the thing, family. You can't do it anyway. Can I let you in on a secret? You can't do it anyway. You and I will not be successful without trusting God for everything. We won't. I'm reminded of a friend of mine who had a successful business, and we worked together. We shared space. And the amount of restlessness and lack of peace he had reminded me why I love Jesus. He had some nice vehicles. He had a nice house. But he was taking a pill to go to bed, a pill to wake up, a pill to calm down, a pill to get excited. He was taking so many drugs to function. And you know what? That represents the world. That represents the masses. The Spirit of God, the anointing of God, is present and available to take care of whatever need you have. The anointing desires to bring you rest. God desires to take it from you. God desires to show himself strong in your life. You don't have to keep stressing and striving for peace. Accept peace. Amen. Receive peace. God is so important. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 1:4. Just as he chose us in him when?
Before the foundation of the world.
That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, before you were born, before you made the 12 mistakes, before you said what you said, in love. Now we're talking about identity. We're still in the first three chapters of Ephesians. And Ephesians will establish our true identity. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Who's responsible for making us holy? More of y'all should have got that. Let's read it again. Just as he chose us in him before all of our mistakes, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Test time. You ready? Who makes us holy? We were chosen in Christ before the world began. We are holy and without blame because God sees us through Christ. When we see us, this is my prayer. When we see us through Christ, that's when the manifestations take place. Studying the book of Ephesians will illuminate these truths like never before. We are God's children. We have already been accepted. So why fight so hard to get somebody to accept you? Why go through hoops trying to keep up with the Joneses? You've already been accepted. We've already been accepted. We're redeemed and forgiven. We have all of God's wisdom and prudence. Do you realize that the wisdom of God has already been given to us in Jesus? It's easy to forget that sometimes because we can grab hold of our salvation. We can grab hold of our healing. We need to know and understand that the wisdom of God has already been given to us in Christ Jesus. If you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to wisdom. We are already blessed. Look at your neighbor and say, you are not merit made. The Lord didn't choose you on your merit, but solely on your acceptance of Christ. You know, that'll free somebody. You're not merit made. You know, one of the biggest lies is, I'm a self-made man. Man, that's just a lie. You and I could never earn the blessings of God. You and I could never earn a position in Christ. The Lord didn't choose us on merit, but solely on our acceptance of Jesus Christ. Your yes has caused you to be blessed. Just the fact that you said yes, the blessings came. When you said yes to Jesus, raise your hand if you said yes to Jesus.
Yes.
You said yes to his provision, to his blessing, to his favor. You said yes to being whole. You said yes to redemption. It's not about, please hear this. It's not about you being chosen. It's about you choosing the chosen one.
Amen.
I struggled with that when I first got that. I was like, Lord, wait. But then he always wins. But initially, I had a hard time receiving that. But if you think about it, it's not about us. It's about us choosing him. The example I have, if you put on a pair of blue glasses, everything you see is going to be what color? If you put on green glasses, everything you see is going to be... If the Father put on, if he sees us through Christ, everyone who accepts Christ, who's the Father going to see? Please get that. Every time the Father looks at Kyle, he sees Christ. Every time the Father looks at Ed, he sees Christ. If you grab hold of that, it'll set you free. The lie becomes more evident when we have this understanding. Because when we get stuck with being merit made, we're constantly trying to earn merits in order to be accepted by God, who already accepts us. He already loves us. The amount of people who are looking to be accepted is massive. This book of Ephesians, this letter to the church of Ephesus will absolutely set people free. But it requires wrapping our head around it and getting a real understanding of who we are. So very important. You guys all right? It's about us choosing him. And if you haven't chose him, we'll give you an opportunity today to do just that. If you're viewing the live stream, let us know if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. We would love the opportunity to introduce you to our Lord. Christ was chosen, and all those who are in Christ partake in being chosen by his Father. I used the example before, if you're in a cup, I'll use this. If you are in this container, what do people see? If you're white, what do they see? If you're black, what do they see? If you're yellow, red, large, small, short, tall, what do they see? Being in Christ is how we become one. Choosing to be in Christ makes us one. And the world will see there's something to that. Jesus guy. There's something to that. God is so important. Tell your neighbor, be in Christ. Just be in Christ. We're going to be all right. Just be in Christ. If we choose that, be in Christ. Family, the same Christ that walked the earth is still walking the earth in greater numbers. What a revelation. The difference is he's in greater numbers. The same Christ is walking the earth right now in you. In him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:28. In him we move, we live and move and have our being. When you and I are in the container, we move about in his anointing, his power, and we get his results. Greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. Because we've inherited the family business, greater works belong to us. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
That's John 14:12. We are the beneficiaries of a covenant between God the Father and his Son Jesus. The Father would have to, this is another nugget that really set into my heart. Please hear this. How many of you, let's have a moment of honesty. How many of you have ever felt rejected? Have you felt rejected? Have you felt rejected by God? How many of you ever felt rejected by God? Now, I remember going through my pity party, and in order for God the Father to reject me, he'd have to reject Christ. Family, if we get that understanding, we'll know how ludicrous it is to think that the Father would ever reject us. Because when he puts on Christ, his Christ glasses, and looks at you, all he sees is Christ. Is he going to reject the Son? He'll never reject us. That is so important. That is foundational truth that will change us forever. Ephesians 1:4 says, or it reveals that God the Father had a plan of salvation worked out before he even created the world. If it was up to us, we wouldn't have created the world knowing the drama that mankind was going to take them through. Thank God it's not up to us. You know, God knew mankind was going to sell out and commit high treason. And he knew the cost of man's treason was going to be his one and only beloved Son. And he still made the world. He still made mankind, knowing man was going to turn his back. Aren't you glad we're not God? We're like, oh no, the world can wait. I'm going to hang out with my Son. I'm good. Nope. Here's the thing. God is not man. Settle that. God is not man. God is all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful. Settle that. Why would God do that? And the answer is because he's not man. He knew the value of you. God made a calculated decision, and he said the prize is worth it. He said, you're worth it. And he sent his only begotten Son to die a undeserving, horrific death in order to obtain the prize. Look around at the prizes. You're worth it. Your value. God the Father saw you, the prize, and it was worth all the cost. None of us can claim to be without blame in the sight of man, because man looks at the outward appearance and all have sinned. The Lord looks at our born-again spirits, which have been regenerated by Christ, and he sees us holy and without blame. If you look inward and begin there, you'll begin to function like Christ. If you begin, and that's a great prayer. Father, let me see people the way you see them. For this series, the prayer is, Father, let us see us the way you see us. That changes everything. We have to see us as he is. So very important. We are holy and without blame before God because his love expressed through his son. Freedom shows up in our lives when we see us the way the Father sees us. Your victory will come from your vision of who you really are. You're too blessed to be stressed. If we get our vision right, victory is inevitable. And that's my prayer. Father, give us divine insight. Allow the spirit of seeing and knowing to flow in this place like never before. Show us how you see us. Ephesians 1:5. We made it. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5 says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Predestination and foreknowledge go hand in hand. There are huge opportunities for misunderstanding of predestination being based on God's foreknowledge of leading somebody or causing somebody to be damned or to be lost. And that's not true. And we'll dig into the difference between predestination and foreknowledge as we go through. God does not choose people independent of their free will. Because we're not puppets, we will always have the opportunity to accept Jesus. Now, foreknowledge means he knows who will choose him and those individuals become his own. The word of God makes it clear that whosoever shall call on a name can be saved. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. And it goes on and on. Whosoever will let me, Revelation 22:17. Now, let's talk about adoption. Now, the term adoption that was used with the Apostle Paul in this scripture, it found its roots in the Roman culture rather than the Jewish culture. Through adoption, old ties were severed, and the new father became full owner of the child with legal rights. Now, this is so important for us to grab hold of. I told the story about the gentleman that was trying to encourage me about staying in the streets and you know, focusing on where I came from. You know, I've told the story a couple of times. You know, I look nothing like what I've been through, and that's what God does. But he was trying to encourage me, and he was telling me, man, you should be in the, you know, you should be in the streets, you know, you should be, you know, I bet those people don't even know, you know, all of what you, they don't know you, you know, bullets flying over your head every night. They didn't know, you know, there's robbing and helicopters, they don't know. And I'm listening to him, and I'm thinking, all that is the rear view. Like, what is God's part? Like, is there no benefit in saying yes to the blood of Jesus? And we need to expect freedom because of what Jesus did. We need to expect to be free from, here's the thing, you don't have to be addicted to anything. You don't have to die from anything. You just breathe your last breath. We're not supposed to get sick and die. That is not the kingdom of God.
We are not supposed to have the enemy attack us with something and take us out. That is not God's order. That is not your inheritance. In Rome, a slave could have the full rights of that Roman citizen through adoption. Through adoption, believers now have had all ties severed from their old master and have now become the property of the Heavenly Father as joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We've been adopted. You know, adoption means we were chosen. You know, some family members you got stuck with. That's different. Adoption is you're choosing to bring them into the family. The Lord didn't just save us out of pity or a sense of obligation as our creator. He saved us because he loved us. It was his good pleasure, and this is the last part of Ephesians 1:5. It was his good pleasure of his will for us to become adopted sons. We are wanted and accepted by the Father. So very important to wrap our heads around who we are in him. And we'll keep digging. Do you guys get anything out of that? From our light bulbs coming on. So very important. Let's look at the application in close. And then the food here. I'll pray for the food. And then if you need prayer for any reason, the prayer team will be available to serve you. Skyler, I'm supposed to pray for you. Let's go over the application piece first, and then I'm gonna have you come up, Skyler. And then the prayer team, I'll have you come up. Let's do application, prayer team, and pray for Skyler. Pray for the food, and we'll eat. All right. What's number one say? Y'all thinking about food. Okay, everybody. Application number one. Ready? Read. Every day. Especially while we're going through this. I'm telling you, light bulb, you're going to be added to. There are going to be things that you've never seen before. Number two says what? Family, this is so important. If you are not in purpose, you are not fulfilled. If you don't know what you're supposed to do, you don't know who you are. And that is so critical. Your purpose is so necessary for you to walk in fulfillment. Don't miss that. Ask God. Don't you know he wants to tell you? And here's the thing. The best way to know the purpose of a thing is to ask the maker of that thing. Number three, make yourself available. The devil loves to keep God's family busy. Being under Satan's yoke is the best acronym for busy. Distracted. I got to do this. I got to do this. But what is God saying to do? Don't be driven by your needs. Be led by the Spirit. Number four. Why? Because he'll add everything to us. When we live Matthew 6:33, he'll do the rest. We just make his kingdom a priority. He'll take care of the rest. He said all things. He'll add all things to us. There is nothing missing in the word all. And last but not least, see yourself as he is. God, that's critical. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to feed on your word. Skyler, come up. Thank you for this opportunity to feed on your word.
Thank you, Lord, for grace deposits and truth impartations. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing, destroying yokes and removing burdens. If you need prayer for any reason, come up, especially if you need healing in your body. If you need healing in your body, come and be healed. There's a healing anointing available right now. If you need healing in your body, you will walk away from here healed. Come to the altar and be healed. If that's you, come forward. Father, thank you for this mighty woman of God. Thank you for your purpose and your plan. Out of obedience, I'm going to lay hands on her for an impartation. Thank you for setting her apart. Thank you for equipping her. Thank you for endowing her with your presence. I pray that your voice is the loudest voice that she hears. I thank you, Lord, for a fresh anointing. Thank you, Lord, as she makes herself available, as she yields to your plan. Thank you for provision, guidance. Thank you for sending the right people. Thank you for the path that she has begun to see that you've called her to walk. Sure it up. Show her, remind her, confirm it for her. What you would have her to do. Your plan is going to lead her to her greatest desires. Thank you for it, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord.
Wasn't that a powerful message? Isn't God good? You know, one thing I know for sure, the Word of God never returns void. It's always going to do what it's supposed to do. So here's your challenge. Apply the Word of God that you heard today. If this message has been a blessing to you in any way, I'm encouraging you to consider sowing a seed. You know, here at Word Life, we're seeing lives transform. We're seeing people saved, healed, delivered. And that happens through partnership. So we welcome your partnership if you feel led to come and be a part of what God is doing here. If you have any prayer requests, let us know. We would love the opportunity. I'm going to pray for everybody here in a second. But if you have anything specific, let us know. We would love the opportunity to partner with you in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every viewer. Father, I add my faith to their faith right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak blessings over their lives, over their children, over their households. I boldly declare that they are above only and not beneath. They are the head and not the tail, and they walk in victory in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time.